The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning, how are you?
Boker Tov, Howard, yes, Lag BaOmer tonight, of course, and hopefully we can, for those of us who are allowed to have bonfires, burn away some of those frustrations that we're feeling. Your session yesterday with Yasmin and Sean definitely got me going, I have to tell you.
All right. Tell us what you're really feeling.
Have we spoken enough about this yet? Because I've still got a lot to say.
Go for it. You asked me last night, you said you listened to it, and you said, have you spoken too much about the human rights, the report, like saying Israel is guilty of apartheid-like crimes? And I said, Anthony, go for it. So to give us your thoughts on it. So first of all, tell us about you listened to the interview yesterday where I had NGO Monitor on and I had Human Rights Watch. So your thoughts?
The interesting thing for me is that there is so much confusion being presented between what we call Israel proper and what they like to call the so-called occupied Palestinian territories, which now apparently even have a three-letter acronym, right? It's OPT. We can call it that. It almost sounds like an illness. We call it OPT, the occupied Palestinian territory. So you made a very strong point, which was not rebutted in any way at all, where you said that in Israel proper, so-called Israel proper, there are no accusations of apartheid that can be leveled in any form, in any shape. And apparently, Yasmin, while she didn't say, yes, I agree with that, she also didn't say, no, I disagree with that.
Yes, and I think that that's important because, you know, for somebody who doesn't know and who isn't aware of the nuances around Israel, all they hear is Israel / apartheid, and they think that even the accusation is around, is for the whole country.
Yeah, I mean, people have this vision that the norm in Israel is that Arabs can't use certain toilets, can't attend certain beaches, can't go on certain buses.
Because that's what apartheid means.
Right. Can't hold down certain jobs. That all is inaccurate, incorrect, that Arabs are free to move around to do everything that they wish to do in Israel proper. And I would even go a little bit further because I had a visitor recently from the United States who I had lunch with and was very frustrated when a huge group of Arab ladies came into the restaurant and sat at the table next to us enjoying all of the food and the atmosphere and the health that Israel had to offer. And his comment to me was, I wonder if we would be able to go to Ramallah and enjoy lunch in the same way as they're enjoying lunch here. Now, the obvious answer to that is absolutely not. Jewish Israelis are not allowed to go to Ramallah or to the so-called OPT to enjoy the fruits of whatever they have to offer simply because the Israeli government doesn't allow it. Why does the Israeli government not allow it? Because they know that that could precipitate a war, because there could be, God forbid, a kidnapping, or there could be perhaps an attack on that particular individual, which would have to then escalate the IDF in order to go in and help that person. And in the past, we've seen wars almost break out over simple incidents like that. So no, there is no equilibrium between the flow of people backwards and forwards. But in Israel proper, Arabs are entitled to do and say as they please and go to our malls and hold down jobs and all of this without any issue, except for the fact that Yasmin then brought out the so-called nation state law, which, by the way, applies to Israel proper and not to the OPT. So all of a sudden, that then began to cloud the issue a little bit by saying this nation state law is discriminatory. And the nation state law simply says that Israel is a country for Jews. That's what the nation state law says. And we are not embarrassed to say that because that is the reality. Now, if we had no intention of having anybody else in Israel except Jews, then we would have said that a long time ago. If you're not Jewish, don't come and live here. If you're not Jewish, leave right now. This country is for Jews, but that's not the case. The case is that this country is for the Jews and that there are certain priorities that are given to Jews, not in order to dominate, because that emotive term was used a lot, not in order to dominate, but simply in order to give a home to people who over decades and centuries have been homeless, who have been kicked out from one country to another, from the Spanish Inquisition to the Holocaust to all kinds of other events. Jews have been excommunicated and not had place to live. And so Israel is a safe harbor and will always be a safe harbor. And by the way, if you're not Jewish, then you're entitled to live in Israel too, according to standards which are established by all manner of other countries. In other words, if you, as a non-British person, want to go and live in the UK, you have to go through an application process. You have to go through a certain naturalization process. That applies to non-Jews in Israel in equal measure. So the rules are very, very international about people who are not Jewish. And for people who are Jewish, because we know that there is this issue of homelessness in Jews over a lengthy, lengthy period of time over history, we have a certain right to be Jewish in our homeland, and from day one, you're entitled to take up that right under the law of return. So that applies unashamedly to the land of Israel, to the area proper. Let's talk a little bit about the so-called OPT, the Occupied Palestinian Territories. The term really annoys me because I don't know who occupies what.
Right.
And what I mean by that is that within the so-called OPT, we have these areas A, B, and C, which were determined by the Oslo Accords. For people who don't like it, the Oslo Accords have left one indelible print on our landscape. That's areas A, B, and C. They exist today. In area A, which is a very, very large proportion of the territory under consideration, the Palestinian Authority rule. Israel does not rule. And in area A, the Palestinian Authority have every right to determine the future of the people who live there. Now, does Israel have certain rights that they've retained around Area A? Absolutely. Why is that? Because we've already determined, according to Yasmin, that Israel has a right to secure itself, to prevent itself from being attacked, to secure its borders. And it seems like Human Rights Watch are happy to say that and to acknowledge that when it comes to a debate. But when it comes to facts on the ground, putting that security into operation, then it becomes an apartheid action. Then we have the so-called open-air prison in Gaza. Then we have the so-called restriction of movement of people. Of course we have the restriction, because if we don't restrict it, then Israel will be destroyed. That has been proven over centuries. There is, you know, sometimes it's just handy to take a step back and to review the narrative over the past 74, almost 80 years. And the narrative is quite simple. A motion is presented to the United Nations in 1947, which says two countries, one Arab, one Jewish, side by side. The Jews say, we'll take it. Hands up, we're going for it. The Arabs say, under no circumstances. So the Jews say, well, let's pursue it anyway, even though they're going to try and destroy us, but we're going to pursue this anyway. So I'm not quite sure where the apartheid begins when that's the starting point from which this whole experiment has begun. And from there, we see numerous wars where the Jewish state continues to try, they continue to try to destroy the Jewish state. There are land borders which are unclear because of the ongoing dispute over territory. And as a result of the unclear land, it gives the right for people to so-called land grab, for people to behave in a way which might not be according to strict law. Now, are there acts of discrimination on both sides of the fence which happen from time to time? 100% yes. Does Israel consider that when we come to all of these land issues? The High Court of Israel has ruled under certain conditions that land that has been taken by Jews to establish a settlement, call it whatever you want, has been unlawful and has ordered those people to return the land to whoever the court has determined is the rightful owner. So that does show that there have been acts of discrimination, but Israel's judicial system has taken it upon itself in order to rule on these issues, to try and be fair and equal as much as possible. So far, I don't get a message of domination. I don't get a message of attempting to try to control one race over another or apartheid. So when we look at the narrative from taking a slight step back and from a slight distance, then we see that there is no attempt to dominate. It's very, very simple. We just want to be in our land. We just want it to be secure. We want Jews to have a safe haven to come and live here. And we don't want anybody to try and attack us. And that's really the end of the story. There is nothing more to it. We disengaged from Gaza. We returned it to the rule of Hamas for them to determine their own destiny. Now, what they did with it after that means that we've had to secure it, means that we've had to fence it in, means that we've had to restrict the flow of goods and services and people backwards and forwards, because otherwise we would just invite them to attack our innocent people and to destroy us. And I'm saying unashamedly here, and I know that every person in Israel would say the same thing, we are not going to allow that to happen, not even if we have to fight Human Rights Watch every single day. It's not going to happen.
What's interesting as well is we know that discrimination exists absolutely everywhere in the world within almost every community. There's no doubt that if Human Rights Watch had to decide on an outcome here in Johannesburg or here in South Africa, they could write 213 pages and they could fill 213 pages in terms of discrimination, xenophobia, all sorts of things where people are discriminated against, and reach a similar conclusion. And I was wondering, have they done this in any other country, never mind South Africa? Have they actually completed 213 pages on the Uyghur situation in China, or the situation with regard to the treatment of gay men in Gaza or in Iran or in many other places, the discrimination against women and the lack of rights that women have in other areas? I don't know. I mean, have they?
Yasmin did try to defend that particular accusation that Human Rights Watch is very much engaged more than it should be on Israel and Israeli issues by saying, well, they recently wrote a report about things that are happening in China. And, you know, that may well be the case. But, you know, I think it would be fair to say, and I think this is what you're really driving at, Howard, that there just seems to be an unnatural, unhealthy, unjustified focus on what Israel is doing. Over and over again, when we have a look at the United Nations Human Rights Council, and when we have a look at Human Rights Watch and so many other organizations that seem to be so focused on things that happen in Israel, and when you see what happens to Arabs in other parts of the world, not here, but in Arab countries, how they treat people in those countries, I think that many of Israel's Arabs would genuinely turn around and say, we actually enjoy our lives in Israel because our children have an opportunity here to live in a way that they would never be able to live in any other Arab country, never mind somewhere else, in Israel. And so, you know, I very much agree that there is this unhealthy, unjustified focus. I don't think we're going to get away from it anytime soon, but I just want listeners out there to understand that there is a different narrative to the one that they present, and that we need to be aware of it, because Israelis are really willing to fight their corner in order to keep this piece of land for Jews while being as fair as possible to everybody else.
And I think it's also true to say that there isn't a nation that has stretched their hand out in peace that has had that rejected by Israel.
I think we're willing to engage with whoever wishes to put a hand out in friendship. I think we've shown that. We've really been willing to help countries, even during times when there are no official diplomatic relations, with water, with technology, with all types of friendship, as much as possible. You know, it doesn't mean that there aren't individual acts of discrimination that go on. It really doesn't.
I think that's important to acknowledge.
That you need to emphasize that.
Anthony Rach, that's where we leave it. Do you feel better, Anthony?
I think I do feel better, actually, Howard. I mean, I hope that everybody else feels better along with me. But I really was frustrated when I heard that interview yesterday. So, you know, I think I've had my rant for the day. Thank you for allowing me to do that.